Okay, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together this morning. And Lord, we just open our heart to you and to your word. Lord, open our minds, open our eyes, enable us to hear, enable us to receive from you, Lord, because we need your touch every day. Because every day, Lord, there is something that you can minister to us. Help us to hear it. Help us to appropriate the things you want us to have and to manifest in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been, I'm going to go back a bit on some of the things that I covered last week. It's always things that the Lord wants to add more in our understanding for us to be able to receive what we need. And so sometimes, you know, we go through and we touch different topics, but we want to make sure that, you know, we just cover some areas that weren't covered before. Because my message doesn't go deep enough into the things of the Spirit. What happens is that, doesn't produce the result that should be taking place in our life. It's when we really allow the Holy Spirit to go through the fog that the enemy tries to put in the mind of people and in ourselves, with everything that goes on in the world, and everything that goes on in, even in Christianity these days, that these things need to be cleaned up before the Lord comes back. Because otherwise, what happens is what happens today. So many places we can see the impact of Christianity is decreasing. The power of the enemy is increasing. And if we want to fool ourselves, we can go ahead and think everything is fine. But we have to realize what's happening and take countermeasure. Not trying to fix other people. We have to start fixing ourselves. Because that's the way God wants it. That's the way it works. It doesn't go by masses. The mass is always wrong in everything that they do. If you invest and you go according to the masses, you lose money. Why? Because everybody is driven by their flesh and by their ideas. And the majority of the people don't have the common sense to go according to the truth and not to be deceived by the appearances. See, God doesn't work by appearances. God doesn't believe in religious activities. And Jesus said it very clearly in John 4:20-24, that God wants, desire people that worship him in spirit and in truth. And unless those two things are there, and we even understand what that means, we are going to go through the formality of religion and fool ourselves that we got something when instead the only thing we got is deception. And the typical example is what happened with the Pharisees and when they were meeting, encountering Jesus. They just were completely blind to the things that they should have seen and understood, because they were so convinced that they were right in their theology. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, it doesn't work by our theology. It doesn't work by the law. It doesn't go by our idea. Jesus changed everything. And he said it when he was leaving. I cannot tell you all the things that you need to hear, because you cannot even bear them. You don't have the ear to hear it. You know, and we are all in that place in a certain area. We need to be open to what? To the one that is convenient for me to go, because if I don't go, I won't send it to you. How many people really understand and connect in a real way with the Holy Spirit to be corrected and guided and revealed the truth that they need to hear? And what blocks that taking place is the ideas that we already have, that we've been indoctrinated, doctrines of man that keep us from being able to receive what God wants us to hear. I know that this is the truth, and this is why Christianity is losing touch with the Spirit. That's why there is so much infiltration in the church of ideas that are anti-Bible. You have to just be able to even see what happens physically and be able to interpret it properly. Praise the Lord. So really we are in a place in which we need to understand how to receive from God, how to connect with Him so that our eyes are open, our ears are open, our heart is open to receive. See, this is the most, you know, lots of people, you know, go to God asking for things that they need in the physical, when instead the problem that they have is a spiritual one. They don't hear what God is telling them, because the physical one will automatically be resolved if the spiritual one is addressed. And this is really what goes on, you know, that we have to understand. One of the critical things, you know, that we have how to receive, the law of receiving from God. Okay. There is a wrong understanding and a wrong attitude concerning those things. And really, a scripture that everybody knows. But when it comes to the practical application, they forget it. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Everybody knows that scripture. They heard it hundreds of times. You know, sometimes we can hear a scripture thousands of times and we don't even know what, and we think we know what it means. If we have a problem to receive, that means that we haven't got understanding about that scripture. There are things that are implied in the spiritual dimension that we need to connect with to be able to manifest anything in the physical. So let me go here, read it to you, and then we are going to start expanding in some areas. See, we had to demolish religious ideas inside ourselves and doctrines of men to be able to embrace what set us free, because it's not doctrines of men, it's the truth. And the truth is never included in the doctrines of men, because the doctrines of men always reduce things. And we have to overcome that. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Doesn't end there, but that is really important to understand. Then we can move on the others. The thing is, there are two factors there. One is grace, and the one is faith. And it comes to, you know, the fact that the way we respond has to do with us, we, who we are going to, what we are going to do about it. Okay. When we understand that two things are essential and needed, grace and faith. Grace only is not going to do anything. Faith only is going to produce great damage. You mix them together in the right way, and you are going to get breakthroughs. Let me expand a bit more on that. See, grace is God's gift. It's the empowerment to do things. It's what God allows, what God gives you for free. You cannot, it's a gift, you cannot work for it. So it's not by works that you're going to get anything that is of grace. What is of grace? What is to you grace? Everything that God does, can do in your life. If it's something that is not included in grace, don't pray for it. Because number one, you're wasting your time. Number two, you shouldn't want it. Because God has provided all the things that you need. And so if you connect with His will, you know exactly what you can expect from Him. He wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you breakthroughs. He wants to enable you to have a successful life and have a future and finally join with Him in heaven. Those are all things that are included in grace. And God has planned for those things. And I'm not going to, go through all the scripture. We are going to go later. I'm just summarizing here. You know, He has planned for all these things before He created anything else. Before He even created you. Before the foundation of the world. That's the way the word says. So His plan the way Jeremiah says, was a good plan for you. Plan to peace, to bless you, and to for a future and a hope. Okay? Wasn't just a stingy little thing that you're trying to, you had to work really hard. No, you know, actually, the least you work for it, the better it is. If you work it, you are trying to make it. Instead, if you are open to the Holy Spirit, are open to the way He wants to work with you, then He's going to guide you right there. And the whole thing is going to happen naturally. You know, some people think that they had to shake the heaven for God to move. God loves you more than you can even think. And if you think that because you are doing things, He is going to love you more, you are fooling yourself. It's not the things you do that is going to, make you closer to God. But that's what religion tries to tell you. And that's that, and that's it for all the religion of the earth, but not from what Jesus said. Now we just see the way He functions and the way He worked, and we will know exactly what that means. But we had to get there. So, you know, the point is, okay, this is something that we, you know, grace includes all the promises of God. They are good for everybody in the earth. The people that know God, the people that love God, the people that hate God. Because God's desire is to save everybody. That's what the word says. Okay. But salvation is not just something that one day happened. One day you're saved, the next day, one day you're not saved, next day you are saved. If that's your idea of salvation, you really are off a tangent because it doesn't cope with the Bible. One day you can be, you know, not connected to God. Next time you can start being connected with God because you have accepted what Jesus has done. Not because you had done something. Because you trust what he has done rather than what you are trying to do. When you start believing that what he did is enough to reconnect you with God, then that's the greatest things, that the greatest gift, the greatest charis, the greatest grace that you can get. Your spirit is no longer dead, is alive. That's the greatest thing, and we are going to see because, Jesus said that too, and I'm going to, when we get there, I'm going to show that to you. Okay. The important thing, that just by grace only, the only thing we're going to do is believe, well, no, he has done it, and you do nothing, and nothing is going to happen. You're going to receive nothing because the people in the world receive nothing of what Jesus has done unless they accept and trust in him. That's the number one thing we have to understand. Number two thing to understand is that they, when they have some needs, something that they want, they're going to go after and they're going to try to get enough faith to get it. And that's really the way to waste your time with religious idea. You cannot make your faith bigger by your own efforts. That includes all the religious stuff that everybody does to do that. It's not by reading more the Bible. You can read the Bible every day. It's not by listening to Bible recording all the time and thinking that that's going to produce faith. Because, it's not just the physical hearing that you have to do. Faith coming by hearing, but not by hearing with your ear. You have to hear with your heart. If you don't hear with your heart, if your heart is not open, if you are not there, if you are not seeking to receive the understanding that you need, you are going to get zilch. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be stuck in religions just like the Pharisees. They knew the Bible. They heard it. They quoted it. They memorized it. They knew everything and didn't do anything for them. I think we should get smarter than that and not fall back into those things that were just the problem with all the Old Testament people that didn't receive yet the understanding that Jesus brought on earth. And we had to get to the place in which we embrace what he came to show us and learn from him. The way he walked. He didn't have there, he didn't need to pray himself, to the frenzy, to get the faith, to raise people from the dead. He met somebody on the street, and the funeral was coming by, and says, come up, stand up. Hello. See, we get fleshy ideas, and we think that with the flesh, we get spiritual result. And we don't understand the things that are clearly explained in the Bible for us to grasp and to be able to live at a different level. Live with spiritual result. Live receiving from God the things that God has freely given us already that are there just for the taking. Hallelujah. See, work faith is really works. You are trying to earn. You are trying to gain. You are going to try to get spiritual impact. You are trying to shake the heaven so that you think that, you know, that's going to convince God. Big deal. You are certainly so powerful. It's really naive and stupid. See, there is a part we have to take, but that's not take. It's a question of making the right connection with God. Have the right understanding. You cannot do it not of work, you know, not of yourself. He has provided everything. But we have to understand how we have to exercise our part to take. See, what did he provide? Everything that was included in the atonement. Everything that was included in what he explained to do with his death, burial, and resurrection. Everything that is there is being planned by God before the foundation of the world. And not only that, but it's just been what he wants to do for us now, and we have to understand how to actually manifest it, how to take it. Praise the Lord. We have to understand everything that is in the atonement are what is the grace of God. We can see how, I know I was reading, sometimes I read some articles, you know, supposedly from website, Christian website, and just they turn me off because they deceive people by religious ideas. They keep them bound by these pious thoughts. I'm not going to go into that. There was one yesterday that I really read part of it, and then I had to throw it away because I couldn't stand it anymore. Now, okay, let me continue here. Because we had to understand the whole thing here. The following verse, okay, Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we may walk in them." They should walk in them. So, absolutely, this is very important. See, we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, you know, the things that he made us. And now, why are we in workmanship? Because we are created in Christ Jesus. See, we don't make ourselves. Is what Jesus did. And we receive it. And we take what he has done that produces the miracle in which we become a new creation. The Spirit in us is no longer dead, it's alive. And you're saying, wow, that's really a big thing. Absolutely. But you know, even that get distorted by religion. There's plenty of distortion there. I'm going to, you know, slowly explain some things. Okay. The thing is, you know, we were created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand, so that one that, you know, he knew that he had to move into and to do, okay, so that we should walk in them. The work are not our works. That is our walk. That means we are going to do the things that is not us doing, is what he did through us. We have no boasting or anything that we can say, oh, you see, I'm so good. You are good for nothing. That's what God is telling us. See, people want to really feel good about themselves. And what they do, end up fooling themselves because they believe that they have done something. When they haven't done anything, the only thing they fool themselves to think that they have done something. It's what God does through you, because you let him do it. Because you listen to what he tells you to do, not because you follow the rules, not because you follow the law, not because you do everything that everybody tells you that you should be doing. You cannot do the work that he calls you to do in your own strength, because those works are not physical works. Those are spiritual works. They are supernatural works. They are works of God, not works of man. So it's not your effort, not your dedication, not your zeal is going to do it. The Pharisees were really zealous. Much more zealous than anybody else, Christians today. Look what they got them. Paul explains that too. But anyway, so the problem is, it's so easy. Once we got the first experience and we, you know, connect with God, and because the only way to get with God is really that you heard the Holy Spirit. It's not that you follow some rules or some, you know, processes or some steps or some things. You have to hear from God with your heart, not with your head. Now, okay, so, but it's so easy once we started to just forget it and start working according to all the things that religion tells you to do. Most of the epistles deal with that. Especially, for example, Galatians. The Epistle of Galatians really explains that and really tells the Galatians, you know, for example, in chapter 3, verse 1, says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, what has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before was the eyes of Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed at you as crucified." You see, it's the crucifixion of Jesus dying for our sins and taking our praise, them is only things. And that's the only thing that we can base ourselves on. Nothing that we have done. Okay. But some scriptures are confusing, because they talk about things that can be interpreted as the thing, the works of the flesh that you had to do. And so you end up falling back in the law. And the very moment which we are falling back on the law, okay, you are falling off grace. Immediately, as soon as you start implementing your rules, implementing religions in your life, your faith is going to be destroyed, and what you're going to depend is in yourself. And you are not dependable. The only one that's dependable is the Holy Spirit. But how much do you trust him, really? See, that's the key. That's the difference. The New Testament and Old Testament should really show us. You know, our dependence is not on the law. The only thing that the law can do is tell you, do this, do that, do that. And when you don't do any of these things, you are disqualified. Well, you cannot do all the things anyway. Nobody can. The only thing they can point out is your mistakes, not anything that you had to actually follow God. The only way to follow God is for you to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to do, now do this. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to guide you step by step. That's what Jesus said, he will do it. So unless we connect with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit becomes real to us, so that we hear him, instead of, oh, but that's not important. Oh, well, no, I don't care about that. Oh, you know what I have to do? I mean, this is, I have to, Oh, I had to be studying the Bible now at the moment. When the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 pick up your phone and call this person. Oh, well, you know, I haven't spent 50 minutes of studying the Bible today. Who cares? That's not the way you are going to do the works of God. So the work of God is not to follow the things that you have planned yourself to do. It's to go according to His plans. So the Holy Spirit is going to say, pick up the phone and call that person because they need you. Yeah, but maybe it's not the Holy Spirit. You learn to listen so that you can recognize the difference. So that you don't have your mind going around all over the place telling you to do things when it's not, because it's the enemy that's going to push you around. See, require what you have to start someplace. And you have to start to learn, you know, when you are right and when you are wrong. You have to accept that you are wrong instead of saying, well, you know, no, the Holy Spirit told me that. No. You were wrong. See, that part of the dependence and the humility that we had to get into to be able to actually be able to even hear anything. Praise the Lord. I mean, these are truths that we had to connect with. Okay. And then, you know, in Galatians chapter 3, the following verse expands to show really what he's saying. He's not saying, you know, well, you know, you did go to according to the proper doctrine. Not at all. I mean, doctrine is important because it gives you the guidance, but that's not the solution, because it can become just religion. Following there says, this only I want you to learn from you. Okay? You want to try to get something across. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I mean, you know, you weren't there checking out all the things. You just open up and the Holy Spirit ministered to you about some truth, and you suddenly got the Spirit, got the revelation, God, you were born again, you were transformed. You got anything that happens doesn't happen because you follow a formula. Happen because you heard what God word saying. You heard the Rhema, and that reflected in you, and you accepted it, and you believed it, and you acted on it. So you see the important. See, here he's talking about, you know, your experience in connecting with God, with the Holy Spirit, and the supernatural manifestation that came about from that encounter is what's going to teach you how to recognize when you are in religion or when we are actually getting something. See, it's only the supernatural manifestation. This is why, you know, the church today is getting nowhere. Because, oh, we don't go by the supernatural stuff. Well, if you don't go by the supernatural stuff, nothing in Christianity is valid anymore. Because Christianity is not natural. It's supernatural in itself. And unless you connect at that level, forget it. Everything else is religion. Oh, but that makes it so very strange. Uh-huh. We are in the spiritual dimension, if you like it or not. If you don't see it and you don't know how to connect there, you are going to be just like every other religion in the world, that they don't have any spiritual reality operating in them. The proof of Christianity is the fact that Jesus did miracles. As Jesus himself said, look, people that arise, risen, you know, people healed, other ones demon possessed or delivered. That's what my credentials. Nothing has changed. We're supposed to operate and to function the way he did. And he said that, and we are going to even talk about that. But we have to look at these things. Okay, well, here, continue on the Galatians 3. 3:3 says, oh, you foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now being made perfect by the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? I mean, you know, was really, what did you really get? Was real or just it was a joke? Because you didn't get it by your effort. If you got something, you know you got something. Okay. So, following verse 5, okay, give the instruction how to grow in maturity. And to grow in maturity, you don't start using formulas. 1, 2, 3, and you follow this step, and you say this prayer, and you do these things, it's going to work because you do something physical. The word is very clear. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. John 3:6. So, you just ignore completely something that Jesus said that we had to, according to which we had to operate, and you try to get things according contrary to what he said he would have to. Okay? So, so this is really where the, you know, therefore, you know, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, he is showing us, he's telling us how we can distinguish. And it's not the physical things that appears on the surface that are really, you know, there's lots of fake stuff going on. And unless we realize that, we are going to be deceived with all the world. Paul, Jesus, Peter, all the other ones used the miracles that were happening, you know, as the indication that they were moving in the right direction. If we eliminate all the supernatural, because that was limited to the disciples and the apostles of Jesus, and it's cessated from when, you know, they were passed away. We just, that Christianity is cessated too. It's called, it's finished. There is nothing left of it. Praise the Lord. See, you cannot go according to, see, today, unfortunately, okay, we lost the key essence of what, where we stand, which is actually a spiritual reality of something that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, and is just as powerful and as real and spiritual today, because the spiritual things doesn't change. It's eternal. And we try to go by temporary things. Okay. Just continuing here in verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God, and he was accounted for him as righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So we are called to be sons of Abraham. We are going to be, Abraham is our father, he's the father of our faith. He shows us what he was doing. He's actually communing, having communion with God, interacting with God, hearing God, hearing God's voice, and believing it. That's what we had to learn to do. It may take some time for us to learn to distinguish. But just because you are not experienced doesn't mean that you have to throw away the baby with the bathwater. You had to take the important part and say, how am I going to learn to do that? You know, I believe that the reason why, to me, this is so important, because I even started that way. Okay. Nobody taught me anything for the little while when I got to the Lord. After, everybody's trying to teach me all the stuff, and you know, their religions got on me too. And I had to work that out. I had to deal. I had to fight against that to be able to survive. Because the pressure around everybody is there. There are Pharisees all over the place. Praise the Lord. Only those that are of faith are the sons of Abraham. We have to understand that. We have to understand that, you know, that we should start on functioning and operating, you know, in our spirit and not in our mind, not in religion, but what we had to learn to connect with the Holy Spirit. Jesus teaching at the end of his ministry, chapter 13 to 17 in the book of John, is everything about our union with him. Being connected, being, you know, connected to the vine. Being, you know, important to be, you know, union with him and with the Father, and be in the same union with him as he was with the Father. We are not independent anymore. We have to become completely dependent and completely operating on the direction of the Holy Spirit. You know, that seems vague, that may seem impossible to follow, but there are so many instructions. You see, this is not just one scripture. People think, you know, they become expert in some scripture and forget all the other part of the Bible and they can manage it. No, you have to be absorbing the Bible and allowing the Holy Spirit to make that connection with all the parts together so that you can have the proper balance and understand. So instead of just looking at Paul, I'm bringing about now Peter. There was a completely different personality, a completely different background, a completely different experience. Paul, super Pharisee, super educated in the things, and you know what he says about all his super stuff? It's just dung. That should tell us the story. I mean, he had more than a PhD in theology, according to his time. And he had to throw all that away and go by something that he met with Jesus in the desert and that was taught him by actual experience. He had to throw away everything because everything that he had done up to that moment was garbage. I mean, unless we do that, you know, that applies to us directly. The more we got, the more good guys we were before, and the more it's difficult to shake it off. Because I wasn't that bad. How fool can you be? You can reach God for your goodness. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, let's see here now a moment. you know what Peter has to say. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, in his divine power. So it wasn't his, you know, great theology that you got from the great preacher that you've been listening. Okay. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you have all the things that you need for life and godliness? Well, I doubt it. He has given it to us, but have we taken them? But the problem is that it's not what God has given us, but that is the grace that's available to everybody. And God is not going to give you anything more than that, because that is everything that you need for life and godliness. That covers every angle, every need, everything that you have. But says, well, you know, I have lots of needs. Absolutely. We all do. And where are you going to go to try to satisfy, to try to fix those needs? By following the law? Well, you're fooling yourself, because that doesn't even help you to get you the first basis with God. Doesn't help you anything. So here he's saying, very simply, okay, as his divine power is supernatural here, okay, divine power is the dunamis, you know, and is godly. Okay, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So, you see, we had to get that knowledge that is going to make a difference. Okay? And you had to take that knowledge. That means, how are you going to get that knowledge? Okay? Well, following verse 4. By which you have given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So that is what God is, that's the grace that is given to you. God's grace is expressed by God's grace, exceeding and gracious promises are given to us. This is really give us the parameters of the things that we should be expecting. The things that have given to us and is already given. So you don't need to go asking God, Lord, please forgive my sins. No, you had to take forgiveness. You don't go to God, oh Lord, please. You know, it's so stupid. You know, how religious can work. You know, you go asking God to forgive your sin. That's stupid. Because he has done it already. What you have to do is thank you that you sent Jesus. He died for me and I take it now. See, that faith speaking instead of religion speaking. Are you listening to me? Probably I'm shaking you, lots of demons inside, but that's okay. Somebody has to say the truth. That's what the word says. I'm not making it up. See, I didn't get any of these ideas myself. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows you what the scriptures say. Not what I'm dreaming about because I'm going to write a book and making some money. Now, we continue. Exceeding great and precious promise. That's what we can expect from God. So the only thing we could do about that is not asking him, because he has given us already, is to thank him for that and take it. Why do you think people find difficult to get healing, for example? Because instead of taking it, they are asking God to heal them. Silence here. Got you. You know, that. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, faith is not based on the fact that you have done something. Faith is the fact that you know that Jesus has done something much bigger than you can ever imagine and think, and you believe that what he has done is enough. so that you can take the promises and says, they are mine because you died for me and I can get it. Thank you. I take it now. That's a way to break through the bondage that we've been carrying around because we are going to, according to prayer and thought and idea of the Old Testament when did not have the Holy Spirit. And we still want to work that way. So, you know, there is something, oh, please God, stay with me. Where did you get that idea? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So where you stand? You stand the fact that he's not going to leave you, or you stand, please, you know, be nice to me. He's been nice from the beginning. He said, I'll never leave you. So what you have to do, ask him to do something he has already done, or instead say, thank you, Lord, I just appreciate it. I believe it. You are here with me. And so his presence is going to go with you. Because your faith is working not based on the fact that you spend half an hour praying to convince God to stay with you. It's because you know that Jesus did it and you stand on what Jesus did because that's more than enough for you. I'm getting excited here. You know, we had to really pray the prayer that even Lydia mentioned today, you know, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to get to us, you know, so that we can have the eyes of understanding, that we can see, that we can start reasoning the way God thinks. This is going to take a lot of time to get through. And that's fine. I'm not in a rush. See, you cannot rush through spiritual things. Sometimes you have to meditate on a scripture for a month before you get anything out of it. And after you had done that, you get a bit. And the following week, you know, oh, but there was all this other stuff that you know was there. The way God thinks is so beyond our thinking and our ideas. And we had to learn to make that connection with him to be able to even put our nose in what he has for us. To be able to get the vision and the understanding of what where he's taking us. You know, there should be no problem for us to know what the will of God is for us. But, you know, you ask people, you know, how many of you need to know the will of God? You know, 80% of the congregation lifts up their head, the other 20 don't even know what you're talking about. I would say, just about everybody should know what God's will is for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we have to get back here because looks like the time is running over. Okay. But what was coming after this was really interesting because that is what is going to raise up lots of yes, but. And unless you understand that peace, then everything we have been talking about now falls apart because you take a scripture, it looks like it's contradicting everything that you are saying. When instead, it's confirming it 100%. God never contradicts himself. If you find something that contradicts in one scripture to the others, you got mixed up. So when you said, you say, what I do, when I see really that happening to me, I get all excited. Because there is something here I don't understand that I need to understand. Please, Lord, open my eyes. Because I'm confused. Because I think that the scripture says the opposite of this other one. But if you go according to the normal people that do, you know, Bible analysis and stuff like that, you say, well, you know, maybe there's something with translations and stuff. It's nothing to do with translation. It's that your brain doesn't work. Praise the Lord. Well, I had to close. We are going to shake some more worms next week. Amen? Get anything today? Okay, let's go before the Lord to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you did by sending Jesus. That's the only way that we have a way out. We thank you for the love that you have for us. It's much more than we can ever imagine. We just come to you, believing, trusting you with all our heart, and leaning not in our own understanding, in our own theories, in our own theologies, in our own ideas. We want to have your thoughts in our heart. So we come to you and ask you, Father, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may be able to know what is the hope of your calling, and we may implement it in our life. And we thank you in advance, because we know that this is your will. We can receive it as we open up ourselves to you and we put our trust in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.